we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we are coming to you from WMIE 91.5 FM studios right here in Cocoa, Florida. We are so thankful that you have chosen to make your spirit a priority in your life and listen to the Word of God as it is taught here today. And we are going through the Sermon on the Mount, and we have come to the section of Matthew chapter 6 on the Lord's Prayer. And it's not about vain repetition. It's not even about it being a beautiful song. It is about the people of God knowing how to communicate with God in an effective manner. And so Jesus is the one that taught the disciples to pray. And so we would do ourselves well if we would take advantage of the opportunity to learn this as well. So if you are listening at 8:30 of a morning or 5 o'clock of an evening, you're here on 91.5 FM. If you're listening at 10:30 of a morning, you're listening to WWBC 1510 AM or one of the corresponding frequencies. And then you can always catch the downloaded version on the website, WMIEFM.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the page, and you can type in what date you are looking for. Type that date in there, and it will give you a selection. The menus all look the same, so just scroll over there and find Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs, and you can download that to your computer and listen to it at whatever time you want if you happen to miss a broadcast. We want to say thank you today to Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. If you need your AC up and running, listen, just because summer gets into the rearview mirror in Florida, that doesn't mean anything for our air conditioners. Our air conditioners are pretty much in use year-round. And if yours needs some TLC, give Bill a call if you're in the central part of Brevard County here, 321-759-3284. I think I've told you the story before, but I took my wife up to see her family 1 year up in Chicago. They've all moved out of there now. We were on our way back to Florida, and as soon as we crossed into the Florida line, we went from needing the heater to needing the air conditioner, and the air conditioner in that car went out. And it was like, oh no, that was in December. We were still needing the air conditioner in December. And so believe me, down here in Florida, you want your AC ready to go at any given point in time. So if Bill can be a service to you, give him a call, 321-759-3284. Tonight at 7 o'clock, we are going to be having our Bible study night, our family night. We've got boys' classes that I teach. We've got three girls' classes that are going on. We've got an adult Bible study that is going on in the sanctuary. Everything starts at 7 o'clock. The Bible study has some praise and worship. They meet around tables. We have chairs in our sanctuary. We take some of the chairs, we put them around a couple of tables. It's a pretty informal atmosphere. It's not a lecture. It's more of a discussion, that is facilitated by just a tremendous servant of God. Brian Sorensen leads that. And so we are thankful for the teachers that are provided at Merritt Assembly of God, and we just are blessed to be able to offer as much ministry as we do for the church size that we are. So if you are looking for a service to go to tonight to get a midweek refresher, if you will, 7 o'clock tonight, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 6, verse number 8, going to read on down to verse number 15, and then we are going to touch on verse 9. Verse 8 says, "Therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespass." Remember, as we're studying this concept of prayer, that Jesus is not sending them backwards. He's raising the bar. He's elevating it. And so he's telling them that they don't have to pray these fancy, eloquent prayers. I've known people that never used King James language except for when they were praying. And then all of a sudden they prayed with these and thous and therefores and whereases and all of that sort of stuff. And I want you to know, God is a right now God. Being able to pray in King James is not what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus is talking about communicating with our Heavenly Father. And so, again, this is not about a vain repetition. It's a good passage to quote. I will say this, that many people approach their prayer life in a haphazard manner. It's kind of a spontaneous thing. They don't really have a focus. If you don't have a focus, if you don't have something to guide you, you're just going to tend to meander. You know, I had a friend many, many years ago that took me out on a boat, and he said, "Okay, now I want you to hold this straight." Well, what I discovered was there were no white lines out there. There were no bumpers. There were no guardrails on the side. There wasn't anything that, I mean, I thought that I was holding that boat just as straight as I could. And he said, "You're getting the lines all tangled up because you're not keeping the boat straight." And it's like, you're going to have to teach me how to keep a boat straight when there's not any focal point to fixate on. And so I guess I should have been focusing at the lines in the back instead of the nose at the front. But a lot of people's prayer life, they struggle in this area because they don't have a pattern. They don't have a guide. They don't have anybody to help them. And so if we look at this Lord's Prayer in such a way that we say, okay, I'm going to spend some time just focusing on the relationship part of God, that He is my Heavenly Father. We talked about that yesterday. He's my Heavenly Father. He doesn't reflect the shortcomings and the failings of my earthly father. He's the perfect role model. And so we are able to come to him because of the relationship that we have for him. It's a relationship of love. He's the lover of your soul. And now it says, "Hallowed be your name." I think that it's very important that we remember that God is absolutely holy. The devil has always attempted to get man to believe that God is not perfect, that God is not holy. Has God not said, or has God really said, you know, Jesus was tempted with miscontorted words from Scripture by Satan in the wilderness. And Jesus every time says, "But it is written, it is written, it is written." And so he stayed on task because of the Word of God. So I want to utilize the Lord's Prayer here for you. It's not the only model for prayer, but it is a very useful model for prayer. And here it gets us fixated on the holiness of God. God does not have the shortcomings of any of the other people that you know. He's absolutely perfect. And so when we come to him as our Heavenly Father, but we come to him in reverential awe because we know, I don't know if you're aware of your sins the way that I'm aware of my sins, but if God had not forgiven me of my sins, I would not be able to stand in the presence of God. He is absolute holiness. When we get to heaven, it is going to be, there's going to be no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more death, no more debt, no more pain, no more suffering, no more sin, no more temptation, no more war. It is going to be absolutely glorious. It's going to be perfect holiness. And so here Jesus says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name." Now, today's broadcast may be just a little bit different than what some other broadcasts are. I want to focus today, and until we get done, on the way that God manifests in his name. You know, a lot of people now, they make up names, they combine words and create their own names. Some of them, some people name their kids a little bit unconventionally. I've seen some interesting, unique names through the years. And then other people like traditional sounding names. Well, I want you to know that words have meaning. And the names of God throughout the scriptures reveal to us his character. When God showed up to Moses, Moses was saying, "And who exactly should I say is sending me?" And God said, "I am that I am. I am that I am." And, you know, it's very important to know who God is. So I've got this little study guide that I put together. I'm gonna go over some of these names. And I'm just gonna give you the basic pronunciation with them. If you take offense to that, I'm not meaning to be offensive at all. But the first one is that he is Jehovah God. He's Jehovah God. He is the self-existent, eternal, self-sufficient, all-sovereign God. To Abraham on Mount Moriah, he revealed himself as Jehovah Jireh, that God himself will provide. God will see to it. God, it disarms poverty and neediness in the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual realms. You and I, we need to realize that God is a provider. And so as we're praying through the name of God, we can come and say, "God, we want to thank you. You were before my problem existed, and you are going to be around long after my problem is gone." When it comes to praying, God, you are Jehovah Jireh. You were Jehovah Jireh to Abram, and you will be Jehovah Jireh to me. You are the God who will provide. If you will, you've provided for him a sacrifice, or a ram caught in the thicket. God, you are going to provide whatever I have need of to walk in obedience to you. In Exodus chapter 17, he is revealed as Jehovah Nissi. That is, God is my banner. It's a symbol of victory. God is never defeated. He is our banner. And so we need to be able to lift that banner up and say, "You know what? In the face of battle, I am going to exalt God to the highest place, and we will see him be victorious." In Judges chapter 6, we see the name Jehovah Shalom, where God is my peace. God is my peace. Today, if you are battling fear or anxiety and you are crying out to God in prayer, you can say, "God, you have always been and you are currently. God is my peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of his peace, there shall be no end. My peace I leave you, not as the world gives, but my peace." understand today that God does not want you bound with fear or anxiety. He wants you living in peace, and he will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon him. Okay, in Ezekiel chapter 48, verse number 35, the scripture, the word is Jehovah Shammah, that God is there. He is there for you. He is there for me. You are never, ever, ever alone. You are never outnumbered. You are never outwitted, because God is there. God is there. Wherever you are right now, God is there. He is the omnipresent God. David said, no matter where I make my bed, you are right there with me. Okay? Jehovah Tsidkenu is God is our righteousness. It is a messianic epithet. It's in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6, and Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse number 16. God is our righteousness. Please do not mistake that there is not a standard or an expectation of righteous behavior in the kingdom of God. God came and made provision for us so that we could live in righteousness. We do not behave the way that we do trying to earn righteousness. We behave the way that we do because of what Christ has done for us. He has empowered us to live in right standing before God. In Psalm 99:8, you'll find Jehovah Salah, God, my forgiveness. God wants to and is able to forgive. It wasn't but about a month ago that I was having a conversation with a person, and they thought, they're not the only person I've ever had this conversation with. I had a boss that I had this conversation with one time, and he said, oh, there's no hope for me. I have sinned too much. I have done too much wrong. And I want you to understand today that no matter what you have done, God is able and ready and willing to forgive. You say, well, what about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, the unforgivable sin? Let me tell you something. If you have committed blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, then you're not going to be convicted of that sin. You're not going to feel bad about that sin, because the Holy Spirit is not going to be working in your life. Many people live with some anxiety as to whether or not they've committed it. And I want you to know that the Holy Spirit dealing with you is the very evidence that God says, I want to forgive you. I want to forgive you. And I will say this. I had a professor at one point in time, and he said, when you look at the text in which Jesus talks about the unforgivable sin, you will find that he was talking to religious leadership who were ascribing to the devil the wonderful works of God that were taking place amongst men. So we don't want to attribute to hold on just a second. We don't want to say that what God is doing is demonic. That's what we don't want to do. God works with perfect motives. God is able and wants to forgive you of your sins. Jehovah Yasha, the Lord my deliverer. It disarms the sense of helplessness or entrapment. God is your deliverer. Rich Mullen sang a song, My Deliverer is Coming. That goes back a long, long time ago. My deliverer is coming. And today, I don't know what you may be struggling with, what you might be battling, but if you are engaging in something and you don't know if you're ever going to get free from it, I want you to declare, my deliverer is coming. And every day you sound the battle cry, my deliverer is coming. And then one other name is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my healer. Exodus chapter 15, verse number 26, God is the healer. He heals because that is who he is. Okay, I will also tell you this, that Jesus means Jehovah saves. God is still in the salvation business. I've also got here a list of names, and I'm not gonna read all of these names here. I've got 18 different names. What the Bible talked about, they put into people's names things that they were going through. Like Judah means praise. And there was Reuben, God sees, and Simeon, God hears, and Levi, God will be attached to me, or, you know, God, surely my husband now will be attached to me. There was all of these names talking about things that were going on. So let me just describe some of these things to you that are revealed in some biblical names. God knows. That alone, we just talked about that on yesterday's broadcast. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. God knows. That disarms any sense that God is unconcerned or unaware of what is going on in your life. The name that God gave to Solomon, but they called him Solomon instead, which means peace, was Jedidiah, which means loved by God. And when you are loved by God, that disarms rejection and discouragement. God will strengthen. When you have the omnipotent God, the almighty God, the God of unlimited strength and resource, that disarms any sense of hopelessness and dismay. God lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. It disarms any doubts of God's existence and his assistance. I know that God is alive because I talked to him this morning. God has grasped. It means that it disarms any sense that things are spinning out of control. God is gracious means that you and I can reject any slanderous accusations against God's character. God establishes and sets up. It's a name that reaffirms God's sovereignty and power and his desire for our lives. I will tell you this, God set you up to succeed. The devil set you up to fail. God can cause you to be established and prosper. The devil wants you to be uprooted and overwhelmed. There's another name, God will contend, which means that you are not fighting your battles alone and you most certainly are not defeated. Another name says God is generous. Many people think of God as a miser, that he's up there holding on to as much as he can, and just every once in a while he just can't help himself and he rations out just a little dab of healing or a little dab of compassion or a little dab of salvation or just a smidgen of revival. But I want you to know that you serve a generous God who is wanting to bless you, meet you, and provide not just life, but life abundantly. God is a giver. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God is exalted. That means that you and I are not going to succumb to the temptation not to worship because God is exalted to the highest place. Jehoshaphat means God is judge. It disarms the thoughts that people are getting by with stuff and that we are not going to be rewarded. God is not only the judge, he is the righteous judge. Jesus and Joshua and Jehoshua, all of those names mean God saves. It disarms temptations to doubt God's redemptive abilities. God is able, disarms the sense that problems are too big for God and reaffirms his omnipotence. God gathers. It reaffirms God as the Lord of the harvest and disarms a defeated mindset. There's another name, God will nourish. God will nourish. It disarms hopelessness of an inevitable starvation and reaffirms God's bounty. God will nourish you. Okay? God sees. It disarms the enemy's lies of God's lack of awareness or preoccupation with others. Do you realize what an awesome God we have, that with over 7 billion people on the earth and thousands dying every day and thousands being born every day, that he manages to keep his focus on us as individuals? and is aware of every detail that is going on in your life. We serve an amazing God. I'm going to just mention one more, and then tomorrow we'll take on a different approach as well. There's one more name. It's Jeroboam. It's in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse number 46. And that means God pleads. God pleads. It reaffirms that God intercedes on behalf of his people. One of the things that I love is that God is never going to ask us to do something that he is not already doing. And so when we are instructed in how to pray, we need to be reminded that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father right now interceding for you and for me on our behalf. In Romans chapter 8, it talks about that the Holy Spirit is interceding in accordance with the perfect will of God for our life. The scripture says, I looked for someone who would pray. I looked for an intercessor, and I couldn't find one, so I interceded myself. I intervened on my own. Today, I pray that when God does that search of looking for somebody who will hallow his name, that it will not be something flippant. You know, too many people use God's name as in vain. They use it as a curse word or a byword. And he is the holy God, the omnipotent God. And I don't have the reference right now, but God says that he is going to work in us so that his name is hallowed in our lives so that others will see the goodness of God. I pray that when you and I pray, that we realize just how amazingly awesome God truly is. He is a holy God. His name is holy. I had a conversation with one time, see if I can squeeze this in. And we had a discussion on the name of God, and I didn't realize it, but he was setting me up. And he said, how do you pronounce that word right there? I was in my study and I had my Bible program open, and I told him, he said, oh no. And come to find out he was Jewish. And he said, we don't say that name because we revere it so much. We don't want to mispronounce it. You have a holy God. Let's worship him. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.